Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has said he knows nothing about Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation presidential transition plan that would radically change the way the federal government is run. That's despite the fact that 26 of the 36 total authors of Project 2025 worked in Trump's administration. Andra Watkins, who grew up steeped in Christian nationalist thought, is the author of How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life on Substack. She spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg.
How will it ruin your life? Is it just sort of the standard conservative program that wants to roll back regulations and cut taxes and maybe have school prayer in the public schools? Is it much more than that?
From the outset of my writing about it in January, I have been calling it an almost 1,000-page Christo-fascist manifesto that transforms our democracy into a Christian nationalist theocracy. So it is completely transformative. It will change our country fundamentally. And should they be successful, I don't know, it would probably take at least a decade, maybe longer, to recover from this kind of change in our government. So it's not as simple as they want to force kids to pray in school, or they want to force people to look at the Ten Commandments, or those kinds of things. It is Christian nationalist dogma baked into our laws as a nation.
So they want to do things like get rid of divorce and prevent unmarried people from living together. Would it go that far?
Project 2025 does not specifically address things like no-fault divorce. What they do is define the family multiple times, very specifically, as one man married to one unrelated woman with children. They criticize any other family unit in our country and say that they contribute to mental health problems and so forth and so on. So they specifically criticize same-sex marriage. They don't believe that is a family. They specifically criticize single parenthood. They don't believe that children should be in homes with women who do not have a husband. They criticize people who live together and aren't married. So they don't specifically say they would outlaw those things, that they do call for the revocation of same-sex marriage and having that not be recognized any longer.
Do you get the impression that most Republicans are on board with this, or do some of them think this is too extreme?
I am calling Project 2025 the Republican Party's platform. This is what the Republican Party has become, and it's more than just a roadmap for Donald Trump's presidency. Since 2021, at least 2021, red states have been implementing Project 2025 in their states if they have majorities or supermajorities in their legislatures. So even before the Dobbs decision that made abortion possible to be banned in the states, Texas managed to ban it with their abortion bounty hunter law in 2021. So that was even before the Dobbs decision. And that is a specific policy objective of Project 2025. They state repeatedly that they want to protect life from conception to natural death. So they believe conception means fertilization, which is why you see Republicans coming out and refusing to support in vitro fertilization, because they believe those fertilized embryos are actual human beings. And all those embryos should have a chance to be implanted somewhere and live, and destroying them is killing them. That's what they believe and what they teach. So you can tell a lot about what Republicans mean to do by what they're doing in red states: outlawing abortion, making it more difficult to get IVF, refusing to enshrine the right to contraception into law, which the House refused to do. House Republicans refused to do a couple of weeks ago. They voted down a bill to do that. Because if you look at some of these far right pro-life websites, they categorize things like the birth control pill as an abortifacient. They would outlaw things like hormonal birth control and IUDs and NuvaRings and patches and things that create a hostile uterine environment, and they use that language for a fertilized egg to implant because they believe anything that does that is actually causing an abortion. So you've seen Republicans in red states try to pick up some of those kinds of things and pass laws outlawing IUDs, for example, or outlawing the Plan B morning after pills.
They haven't gone after condoms yet, though.
They haven't. They haven't.
Do you get the impression that more and more people are now aware of Project 2025 as opposed to, say, even a few months ago?
It seems like more people are aware of it. I do know that Facebook is heavily censoring content about Project 2025. Multiple readers of multiple Substacks who write about different aspects of this campaign from a left viewpoint have said that Facebook is taking down their posts, censoring their posts. I have created memes and shared them on Instagram without any problems, but people have told me that Facebook is very aggressively taking things down.
Has Facebook given an explanation for that?
They say you're trying to get likes, you're spreading misinformation, but one of Facebook's vice presidents used to work with Brett Kavanaugh, so you tell me what's afoot.
Does it look to you like the Democrats are bringing this out more and more, or are they still not emphasizing it enough?
They're not emphasizing it enough, and they're trying too hard, in my view, to pin it specifically to Donald Trump when it is the Republican Party's vision for America. And so I continue to talk about it as the Republican Party's vision for America and what they want the entire United States to live under. They want to force people in California, where you are, to live in a red state by forcing the whole country to live in this Christian nationalist, Christian fascist, theocratic government that Project 2025 sets up.
So it seems like there would be opposition from even other Christian groups, the mainline Christian groups.
There are Christian groups like Christians Against Christian Nationalism who are speaking out against Project 2025. Many Christians in Texas have come out and spoken against Project 2025 and the plans of the Republican Party. So certainly there are Christians who are starting to speak up against it. In America, we've historically deemed it rude or off-putting to call out our fellow Americans for their religious fanaticism. And so it's kind of uncomfortable for a lot of us to call out this religious fanaticism, I think, but it's necessary. You know, I grew up in Christian nationalism, so that's how I came to this work. I grew up in a rural town in South Carolina in the 70s and 80s. I went to a church and the Associated Christian School. It was one of the founding members of Jerry Falwell Sr.'s Moral Majority. So I was indoctrinated in the kind of Christian nationalism that they want to force on all of us now. And I speak that language. So it's really important to understand that people who've been given multiple off-ramps for 50 years to leave these congregations and have not, many of them are fully radicalized human beings and with all the definitions of what being radicalized means. So you can't think that they wouldn't go to extraordinary lengths to force the rest of us to live by their interpretation of what they think the Bible says.
Do you see any of this kind of mentality in other countries that we might learn from? In this country, it seems like, yeah, what you're saying is true, that there's a hesitancy to criticize people's religions, but there's also this other tendency to kind of leave people alone about their religions, you know, not make that much a big deal about it. As you look around the world, do you see examples of what could happen?
Viktor Orban has used this playbook in Hungary to create his illiberal democracy. He leans heavily on Christian nationalism as well. And he has spoken at the Heritage Foundation and worked with them on Project 2025. So that is a
network around the world.
Yes. I mean, in May, I believe it was May, right-wing people from around the world met in Madrid and had a conference to talk about how they were going to take over the world. So it was the far right parties in Europe, It was the guy in Argentina. It was It was countries like that that were talking about how to take over the world. Since then, thankfully, we've had elections in Europe where the far right has been roundly defeated in most of the elections, or like in Italy, they weren't defeated, but they lost ground. In Poland, they managed to wrest control of the country from the far right. So we're starting to see in Europe a backlash to some of this far right talk, but they're not saying nearly the crazy things that the Republican Party is saying in the United States. You know, in Europe, the politicians aren't talking about executing their enemies and going after all of their enemies and jailing them and all this retribution and vengeance that's not just coming from Donald Trump. It's coming from other members of the Republican Party as well. They're not repudiating things like that. So the level of extreme discussion and language that the U.S. Republican Party is using is off the charts compared to what other countries with far-right parties are being willing to use today.
And would you say that the Christian nationalist movement is identical with the Christian identity movement, or are they kind of separate?
I don't know much about the Christian identity movement. Christian nationalism has seven key tenets, and I outlined them very early on in my Substack, or seven key beliefs. I may not remember them all off the top of my head here, but I'll get most of them for you.
Is one of them having to do with the replacement theory?
No.
Okay, that's probably more Christian identity. Yeah.
No. Christian nationalists believe that America was founded as a Christian nation. That is the history that they teach, that all the founders were Christians, that they meant for this country to be a Christian nation and a white Christian nation, because most of the people who came here and wrested control of the land from the indigenous populations were white people from Europe. So that is a key part of their belief system, that we were founded as a Christian nation, that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God, that every word of it is true, and that it should be
regardless
the basis
of the translation.
Regardless of the translation and regardless of how the translations may clash and conflict, they believe it is the inspired word of God, and it should be the basis of our laws, because one of their beliefs is that it is God's perfect law. Everything we need to know, God put in the Bible and gave it to man in the Bible. So we should use the Bible as the basis for God's, for all the laws we write. And they believe that when man creates a law like abortion should be legal, that conflicts with their interpretation of God's law, they believe they are called by God to overturn that law and replace it with God's law, that God charges them with replacing a bad law with God's law and their interpretation of the Bible. They also do believe, people ask me a lot why they align so well with white supremacists. It's because they are white supremacists. I was taught as a child the curse of Ham or curse of Canaan doctrine from the Bible that says that black and brown peoples were cursed by God because of something one of Noah's sons did. And so that was used as a justification for enslaving people during the Civil War. Southern plantation owners used it, and a lot of pastors in the South didn't stop preaching it from pulpits after the South lost the Civil War. So I grew up hearing that as a child. There are people who sit in these pews every week who believe that. And so they align very nicely with white supremacists for that reason, because they are white supremacists.
Although Republicans do like to trot out certain black people and say, look, we support Condoleezza Rice or Clarence.
Exactly. Thomas. Exactly. But, you know, they extract their pounds of flesh for giving those endorsements to behind the scenes. And we probably don't know what those things are. The last big thing about Christian nationalists is they are taught that they can never compromise their position because the Bible is perfect and it is infallible and it is God's law, and you can't give an inch toward enforcing God's law, which is why we see all these people in Congress who are Christian nationalists. There are over 100 of them that we know of in the U.S. Congress who refuse to compromise about anything. They make horrible politicians because they just won't compromise.
Are the Christian nationalists aware of the debates that went on throughout the history of the religion, for example, the debate over original sin. You know, what if St. Augustine doesn't win that battle? Then the religion is different, right? Do they just think that whoever won at any given time was, that was God's will too?
Christian nationalists really don't teach these alternatives from the history of the church. They have plotted their through line of what their dogma is, and they indoctrinate you with that. And they discourage any critical thinking or any looking at other alternatives or other paths that various faiths could have taken or may have taken. So you're indoctrinated in that world not to question the leader, not to look at alternatives, not to listen to anyone but who the leader tells you to listen to, not to think critically or ask questions. So you have people who have been conditioned now for decades to accept a dictator, because a lot of these churches are run by strongmen who have trained people to be receptive to having an authoritarian type control structure put on them.
Are some of the leaders we've become familiar with in recent decades aligned with that, the religious leaders like Billy Graham and his son? Or
his son is.
His son is.
Yes, his son is aligned with that. Franklin Graham is. And I don't know that Billy Graham would have been. I suspect he would have been pretty repulsed by all of this, but his son has embraced it fully.
Or somebody like Oral Roberts, or was it Pat Robertson?
All of those people would embrace this, yes. Pat Robertson has embraced it very publicly. Robert Jeffress is another big one who is a megachurch pastor in Dallas.
And you have people, I don't know, are you familiar with, well, he's gone now, but Gene Scott, he would appear on TV in safari outfits or with his Arabian horses, and he'd have like a chalkboard where he'd draw a bunch of arrows to show the true interpretation of the Bible. And he was like a showman, like some of them are.
Yeah.
Some of them seem to have their own thing. I don't think they care about Christian nationalism. Do you get that impression? Or are they sort of independent operators who don't follow the agenda?
Say that is loosely true of some of them, but on the whole, Christian nationalists, I mean, there are two different strains of Christian nationalism, because there's a Catholic Christian nationalism with the Opus Dei and the Leonard Leo and the Kevin Roberts of the Heritage Foundation. And then there's Protestant Christian nationalism with people like Mike Johnson. And those two groups don't believe the same thing about how people go to heaven. So once they wrest control of our government and create their theocracy, if we as Americans allow that to happen, they're going to have a holy war about whose religion is going to be the national religion, because they believe different things.
So you escaped from all that. And do you know other?
I did.
Do you know other people who have escaped?
There are quite a number of people who have escaped that world, but it is a different, difficult world to get out of. I don't want to call what I grew up in a cult, but they certainly use cult-like tactics to keep you invested. It's hard to leave these groups because you leave all of your contacts behind. You create a rift with your family if they decide to stay there. So you do lose a lot when you decide to walk away from it. And you're forever branded by that. You'll never be welcome there again. Not that I'd want to go back, but it takes a lot to leave that. And then to realize, as I did in my early 30s, wow, you know, the Bob Jones University Press textbooks that my Christian school used to teach me things like history and science were chock full of things that really weren't true. And so I had this deficiency of education that I had to give myself as an adult. And that was part of my deconstruction process and part of becoming who I am now and being able to speak about Christian nationalism the way I do. But it took a lot of years of reading and studying and exploring other viewpoints to get to the point where I am today. So it takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication to get away from an upbringing like that.
Anything else you'd like to add to what you said?
Don't be distracted by the political theater that Donald Trump is doing right now with Project 2025. Project 2025 is happening all over the country. red states are already living partially in the world that Project 2025 envisions for Americans. People need to continue to learn about it and understand it, because if they lose in November, they're not going to abandon these tactics. These are their tactics to transform our government into a theocracy, and they are committed to that. There are billionaires like Peter Thiel who are committed to that. And so this won't be over in November. It's something that Americans need to understand and need to keep fighting against if we do not want to live under Christian nationalist Sharia law.
Have you heard from some spiritual teachers that this is kind of the last dying gasp of fundamentalism? And they're talking about all over the world from the various tendencies of various religions, that eventually it'll be extinguished. That's kind of optimistic, but yeah.
People are saying that because of demographics, that's one of the reasons they've put such a push on right now, because of changing demographics in the United States to try to cement white male control before it will be impossible to gerrymander that control in, for example. I don't think it's ever possible to entirely defeat these kinds of teachings. If you look back through history, humanity has dealt with this kind of thing throughout recorded history. It's something that we don't seem to learn from, or that we seem to think because we're alive right now, we can do fascism better than the last time they tried. And so I don't think it's something that we can ever fully say we've defeated this. Having a democracy and protecting our democracy is a daily job that we as Americans should be proud to steward and participate in.
That's author and commentator Andra Watkins speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on August 13th, 2024.